Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think that...
Just have fun.
Robin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high. Burning the time, loud as the Lord's sea.
The heart, sun with the white of the world. Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
go to hell. You have an organization who's upset because you're asking them to show their voter ID, tell them to go to hell. Literally. That's figuratively. Oh, you should never tell anyone to go to hell. So unloving.
Caller, I'm sorry. Well, I was playing a little skit. I'm putting you in now. By any chance, because I'm hearing that it might have been dead air. Did you hear anything on the air about my voter ID skit that I just played? Caller.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Ms. Yeah. Watkins. How you doing? Did you, by any chance, yeah. I'm sorry I had you on. Did you hear my skit that I was playing with the voter, about the voter ID? Was you able to hear that?
No,
or was
I didn't
it
hear
dead
that,
air?
No.
So I had
dead
air.
Dead air.
We'll forget about it then. Let's go on ahead on and keep it short. It was a good piece. I was running the 2 minute skit on what's happening? Wait, I'm gonna run it back to God. Hold on for a second. Hold on for 1 second. I'm about to run the skit back. I thought it was important. So let me go on and run it back. Hold on for a second.
Voter ID. They're making a big deal because you need voter ID to vote. You can't cash a check without voter ID, scratch ID. You can't get stopped by a police officer. The first thing he asks you for is your ID. So why in the world would we think it's okay to elect officials without anybody showing ID? When we have seen voter fraud is rampant, literally rampant. They want us to believe that showing voter ID is racist. Have you ever heard such insane behavior by people? Every damn thing is racist. Show me your ID, you're racist. Because I asked for your ID, I want to verify who you are. That means I'm racist, really. Why do we even care what they think anyway? Bunch of freaking idiots. I asked you for ID, and all of a sudden, it's racist to ask you for ID. When you have to show your ID just about anywhere else. You go in there, I was trying to buy some Benadryl about a year or so ago for one of my children. They ID'd me on Benadryl. Benadryl. Children's Benadryl. But you shouldn't have to show ID to elect the highest, the leader of the free world. Don't show your ID for that because somebody may be offended. Somebody may call you a racist for showing your ID for that. But for Benadryl, I got to get carded for Benadryl. This is stupidity of these liberals amazes me, and the cowardice of these damn Republicans makes me sick. Well, some of them are just liberals, too. Let me get this correct now. If you go into a store and want to buy alcohol, they'll say, may I see your ID, please? If you get ready to purchase certain items in a vehicle, they ask you for ID. Police officer stops you, he asks you for ID. But if you want to vote for the leader of the free world, the president of the United States, asking for ID is very offensive and racist. Do I have that correctly? You bunch of freaking idiots, you. Why do we even care what these idiots think? It's obvious they're not rational. It's obvious their brain doesn't go all the way to the top of the floor. As a matter of fact, their brain is stuck in the basement. The elevator's broke. Matter of fact, they took the elevator out the building. Don't even have a damn elevator. And there's 150 floors in the building. So you got a long ways to go before you get to the top. They say you are racist for even bringing up voter ID. Even though we've seen rampant voter ID fraud in the last election and many more. Dead people vote. Illegals vote. People voting 4 and 5 times. Well documented voter fraud, but we don't want to offend anybody, and we care about offending. I wouldn't give a damn if they get offended. I'll be honest with you. I'm so sick of them saying they get offended because I've asked for voter ID. Give me your freaking ID then. How do I got to care about you saying, well, I'm so offended, that's so racist. The NAACP is going to get involved, and we're going to look at some civil rights issues. They got a damn thing to do with those civil rights issues. Show your freaking ID before you vote, period. That's offensive to you, tough luck. Won't you toughen up a little bit? You're too damn sensitive. How about that? You're too sensitive literally, that figuratively, oh, you should never tell anyone to go to hell. So unloving. I know. It's so stupid of you to make a big deal, a big hullabaloo about showing the freaking ID. Just show the freaking ID and shut the you-know-what up. Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV.
I got my activist Darva Washington in from Darva. What organization do you all belong to? Darva Washington.
I'm sorry.
From are you there, Darva?
Yes, Darva? I am.
She's there.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, I got you now. Yes, yes, I can hear you now. Yes, can you hear me now?
Hello.
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Darva? All right,
yes,
great. Right, my producer finally got in here, and that's what's slowing my stuff up. We're trying to get the link to you. And what organizations do you that you have up and running? First of all, let me tell my audience who I have on. I have Darva Watkins, and she is from WAR. Am I correct?
WAR Women Are Rising, which is a women's ministry.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about all your organizations and what your organizations do.
Well, number one, I would like to start with Just Us, which is an organization for the people, by the people, of the people. Just Us is an organization that I started 3 years ago because I felt that there was no justice for Just Us. So in order for justice to be served, we must come together to do the necessary things that we must do. So the requirements of my organization is that everybody must be a deputy registrar. Everybody must get their records expunged, as well as getting their rap sheet. That's the criteria to join the organization. That way people can begin to go out to seek employment. They can become entrepreneurs, and they can start their own business. A lot of times people are not getting employed, people are not starting their own businesses, people are not getting funding because they have, something wrong with their the rap sheet. It's, you know, their rap sheet, and they also need to get records expunged and things of that sort. So if you become a member of Just Us, we help you get those things done in the beginning. Then that way you can move forward. Now, Just Us also, we deal with people that have been neglected over many, 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 many years, such as our ex-offenders, as well as our young people, always been overlooked, our veterans who fight for our country, they are overlooked when it comes to benefits, our senior citizens who have been out here fighting with us for many years, they overlooked from time to time, and our mentally and physically challenged people. Now, Just Us is an organization that it's what we're doing is renewing, reviving, and restoring the communities. What I decided to do was to reach out to eight different organizations. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead. I'm with you. Go ahead. I'll hear you.
Okay, because I don't know if you're in or out. I'm looking. I don't see movement. Okay,
No. I didn't want to interrupt you. I was trying to let you
That's okay. So what I decided to do, because, you know, we have 50 wards in the city of Chicago. I knew that I could save every ward, and every ward do not have the problems that we have in some of our African-American communities. Such as the South Side, what I decided to do was reach out to the people on the South Side in some wards that I knew that there were problems and situations. In other words, and what I'm trying to say is that some of our elected officials, they seem to neglect certain wards. Now, the wards that I felt that needed a lot of attention, they have a high rate of crime, they are low, high poverty. And employment was definitely low in these areas. So I decided to take 8 of the 50 wards, but we only have, 19 African-American wards. I took 8 of them and decided to make them to something different, something new, to show the people that we don't need an elected official, a building a committee or whatever to make things happen. All we need is people. So what I decided to do is bring people together to go out with me into the different wards to educate, inform, and enlighten our people about what was going on. And so the ward that I selected on the south side is the 9th ward, the 15th ward, the 16th ward, and the 20th ward. Then I decided to use 4 of the wards on the west side, which were dealing with the same situation and the same problems. Those wards are the 24th ward, the 28th ward, the 29th ward, and the 37th ward. Those are the wards I decided to use. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And this would be something new that was going to begin in our community. Because I have a history of a political background of over 30 years of working in the community since here in Washington, I knew that I can do this. So what I decided to do is take everything that I've learned from working in the political arena since 1983 up until today. I decided to take all of that and put it into good use of what I learned in the community. As I mentioned, I've been in politics 30 years. I began with Hale Washington. I am responsible for helping at least 70% of our elected officials who are African-American get elected. I worked in Washington, Springfield, and Chicago politics. Therefore, I am experienced in what I am now today, a political consultant. My political consultant business is something that after I decided that I no longer want to volunteer. I volunteered all the way from 1983 until the year of 2000, and I decided that I would begin to start my own political organization. Now, during all of the time that I was working on political campaigns, I was also raising my 4 grown children who were born and raised in politics. And they got a chance to see on hand exactly how the political arena works here in the Chicago area, as well as the state and Washington. I don't really want to mention that these are the elected officials that I helped get elected, but they range all the way from committeemen, aldermen, state reps, senators, presidents, mayors, and governors, and so on. I have also helped get elected at least 40% of the other ethnic groups get elected into office also. The political consultant position that I am dealing with right now, what I do is I help people win elections. I put at least 20 attorneys on the bench as a judge in the last 30 years. Today, I am still doing the same thing that I did 30 years ago, but I'm doing it as an entity with other people. With my organization and my marketing company, I can put people to work. And what I mean by work is during election time, people can really, you know, work on campaigns to do things to help people get elected. My main concern right now is that we have a new election coming up for 2014. My main concern is to make sure that we get the right people in office. We understand that we are what we call Democrats, but we have to begin to look at Republicans also. And the reason why I'm saying that is because it's really not the party. It's about what the people are going to do when they're in the position that they are in. I think it's time for a change in politics. I think that the people that have been leading us in the political arena or just in the city of Chicago, they were leading our parents, but they're still leading us today. And I believe that that has to be corrected. And what I mean by corrected, I think it's time to put our young people in action. I think it's time to let our young people know that they have a voice too. I think that it's time, and I know that it's time, that our young people must wake up and take a stand and get involved in what people think there's no meaning to our young people, but there is, because if our young people understand that politics dictates a lot about our lives, we don't understand that it dictates what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what school you're going to attend. I mean, you know, it deals with housing, it deals with economic development, it deals with crime. Politics deals with a lot of things and dictates a lot of things that young people are not aware of. And with my organization, we're here to educate, enlighten, and inform the young people about politics, whether they're in Chicago or any place in the country. Now, that is my main concern right now, because as we all know, that we have two elections coming up. In 2014, we have the gubernatorial election, and in 2015, we have the mayoral election. And both of those elections play a big role in our communities. Now, my other organization is called...
Hey, Dog, in 2016, you got the presidential election, too, so you got three elections.
Oh, yeah, and okay, thank you for reminding me. I even forgot about that. So we have three elections back-to-back. If you look at it, three elections back-to-back, 2014, the gubernatorial, 2015, wow, that's amazing, the mayor, and then 2016, the presidential election. So our babies, our young people need to be informed, and this is what I'm doing. So what we do in my organization, Just Us is a name that I follow, but in reality, that was a name God had given me, because when you read the scriptures, the Bible mentioned Just Us on several occasions. And one time it mentioned Just Us in 4:11, Colossians 4:11. Just Us is when Paul and other people were in prison, and they talk about a man coming by the name of Jesus, who is known by Just Us. And so what he did, he came in to bring them favor and understanding. He came in to help. And so that's the purpose of Just Us, so we can help put our people where they need to be. Our young people especially, I focus on the young people, Paul. The young people are our future. And I am begging our older people, and I don't mean any harm, because even myself, I'm asking and requesting that our older people will be an example by they have led, they have guided us, but we want our young people to have examples of older people who have done great things. And I just think it's time for our older people to realize that we all must stop, you know, we all must let go of things and let other people come in to take our torch and run. And what's happening in our African-American communities, our black elected officials are not allowing our young African-American people or children or young people to take the torch and run. They must pass the torch. They even did this scripture with Moses. Come on with Moses. You know, and so I'm just saying that it is time to wake up the people. We must wake up the people. So I decided to put in the Women Are Rising, which is a women ministry. It is for married people as well as young girls. And what we do, we have a prayer line every Monday from 6 o'clock a.m. and every Monday evening, 7 o'clock p.m. and Saturday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Women from all over the country, all over the United States and all over South America, North America, they get the message through Facebook, and what they do, they get on the line and we pray. And we pray about everything. We pray for our men, we pray for our children, our families, we pray about in everything, and people request special prayers for their families and things of that sort. And so what we do with the prayer line, we're here to make things change. People understand that prayer changes everything, people, circumstances, situations. And in order for things to change, I mean, I'm not, you know, religion is something that people have to, you know, take into their own accord. But what I'm doing is allowing people to have a chance to know that prayer can change situations, and it has changed. We have a lot of testimonies and things of that sort. So if there are any women out there who would like to pray with us, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock a.m., Monday morning at 6 o'clock a.m., and Monday evening at 7 p.m., you can dial in to 712-775-7400, and you can use SS code 116895-POUND. Once again, 116895-POUND.
Also, we have that information out again. I got a lot of questions in the chat room I want to sort out. I had a couple of calls there and drop. One was from, I guess, your man, Jason Coach. He wanted to chime in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to bring you these questions. And I want to ask you a question when I come back from this break. What do you think about, you ain't got to answer it now, but what do you think about that voter ID piece someone sent me to play with my audience? Hold on with that now, since you deal with voters' rights and stuff like that. And I'm going to get back with these questions. Everybody been chatting in the chat room. And I was told that the link is in your inbox on your Facebook page. So you can either pull it out and put it on your page so people can see it right there. Be back in a minute, 347-838-9825. Those callers just dropped, please call them back in. I'll put you on next.
Thank you.
tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Right, that's good. Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. Heard you something, you have any? Yeah, Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. I got my man Charles Love, author, checking in. I'm about to bring you in, Charles Love. But before I bring you in, I got this activist, Dava. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring you in right now. What's going on, Charles? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You live, Charles. How you doing?
I'm good.
Charles. Charles. Okay, I know he's there, but I can't hear him.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got you. I can hear you now. How you doing?
Good, I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Hold on, Charles. Let me, I'm going to keep you on live. You can jump in anytime you want to feel like it. I'm going to bring activist Darva Watkins in. She does a lot of political work here in the city of Chicago. And the last time I left Ms. Watkins, feedback, have no feedback? Last time I left Ms. Watkins, I left her with a question about this voter ID piece that I played. And the gentleman was asking about voter ID, Darva Watkins. What do you think about that little piece that I played for you?
Well, basically, I really, with the voter ID piece, I really look at that as if, I don't know if that's some type of glitch in whatever's trying to take place on election day and things of that sort. I think that I would have to do some more research on that to give you my actual opinion because I'm not – I heard the piece that you put here on the blog radio, but I need to get more details. I need to look into that a little bit more, Jimmy.
Okay, let me give you a little insight, and Charles, you can chime in. And I'm going to just talk about your book in a second, Charles, but the voter ID piece, is that people are questioning the illegality of asking someone for an ID. And what they're trying to harper on is the, back to the 1965 Voter Rights Act, when African Americans in the South had to pay poll taxes or count peas in a bucket and, you know, write things and stuff like that. So the Voter Rights Act of 65 eliminated that. But now they keep that little piece down. It's like back in the forefront. But the piece of on identification is adhere. And a lot of illegal aliens are – now, when I say illegal aliens, I'm not necessarily speaking about Spanish. I'm speaking about Caucasus Mountains, Africans, a lot of Haitians because they're not allowed over here. But a lot of illegal Europeans also taking part on that. Dead people are voting. People are going to many different polls. But the point I'm saying is that black people, and Darva, you can understand this, black people have always been asked to show some form of ID. Even my grandmother, who's 90 years old, had to go to a bank right now and still show forms of ID. And that's what he was going on. I'm going to play the piece again, but before I play the piece, Darva, I want you to check out my man, Mr. Charles Love. I got him on the line. He's another black Republican, Darva. And Charles, Darva is a very activist, and she just proclaimed on my show, which I'm so happy that all my fans heard Ms. Washington. And I didn't convert Ms. Watkins, everybody. I didn't convert Ms. Watkins, but she did say that you got to work with everybody in order to move the agenda forward. So, Charles Love, hey, tell my audience what's your book about, and what's up with you, man?
Well, I'm doing well. Well, first, before I even get to that, I want to talk about Ms. Watkins. I didn't hear your conversation before, but I already have to give her a plus, saying when you were asking her about a recording you played, and she said, I'm not sure about that. I'm going to have to check that out and get some more information. I wish more people would do that. So I'm always...
Ms. Watkins is real.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Well, let me just go in there and play you the clip too, and then you tell me what you think also, and we just
which go from there, and we can start from there, my man.
Okay.
Good to come back to Texas on the voter ID. They're making a big deal because you need voter ID to vote. Can't cash a check without voter ID, without your ID. You can't stop a police officer. The first thing he asks you for is your ID. Why in the world would we think it's okay to elect a without anybody showing ID? When we have voters about this rent, literally rent, but they want us to believe that showing voter ID is racist. I've heard this insane behavior by me. Every day I'm racist. Show me why ID, you're the past I tell to verify who you are. That means I'm racist, really. Why would they think what they think anyway? Bunch of freaking idiots. I ask you for ID, and all of a sudden, it's racist to ask you for ID. When you have to ID, about anywhere else. You go into, I was trying to buy some Benadryl about a year or so ago for one of my children. So they ID'd me on Benadryl. Children's Benadryl. But you shouldn't have to ID to elect the highest, the leader of the free world. Don't show your ID for that because somebody may call you a racist for showing your ID for that. But Benadryl, I got to get carded for Benadryl. This is stupidity of these liberals amazes me, and the cowardness of these damn Republicans makes me sick. Some of them are liberals too. Let me get this correct now. If you go to a store about alcohol, they'll say, may I buy deeply? If you get ready to purchase a certain alcohol vehicle, they ask you for ID. Police officer stops you, he asks you for ID. But if you want to vote for the leader of the free world, the President of the United States, ID is very offensive and racist. Do I have that correctly? You bunch of freaking idiots, you. Why do we even care what the f- think? It's obvious they're not rational. It's obvious their brain doesn't go all the way to the top of the floor. As a matter of fact, their brain is stuck in the basement. The elevator's broke. Matter of fact, they took the elevator out the building. Don't even have a damn elevator. And there's 150 floors in the building. So you've got a long ways to go before you get to the top. They say you are racist for even bringing up voter ID. Even though we've seen rampant voter ID fraud in the last election and many more. Dead people vote. Illegals vote. People voting 45 times. Well documented. Voter fraud, but we don't want to offend anybody, and we care about offending. I wouldn't give a damn if they get offended. I'll be honest with you. I'm so sick of them saying they get offended because I've asked for voter ID. Give me your freaking ID. Hell, I got to care about you. Well, I'm so offended. I'm so racist. The NAACP is going to get involved, and we're going to look at civil rights issues. They got a damn criminal civil rights issues. Show your freaking ID for you both, period. That's offensive to you. Tough luck. Won't you tough it up to me, you damn... How about that? You're too sensitive if you get offended by showing your ID. Because somebody wants to show your ID before. You offended by that? Tell the NAACP to go to hell. Tell LULAC to go to hell. Any other organization who's upset because you're asking them to show their voter ID, tell them to go to hell. Literally. Not figuratively. Oh, you should never tell anyone to go to hell. So unloving. I know. It's so stupid of you to make a big deal, a big hullabaloo about showing your freaking ID. Just show the freaking ID and shut the you-know-what up.
Now, Charles, I paid again, so what's your opinion on that?
Wow. Well, the second half of that clip was, he was fired up, which definitely would be a good segue into the book and how I approach things. But as far as the voting, the ID... I will agree with him in saying that it's okay to ask for an ID and it's not necessarily racist, but I would step back from just that issue and just say to people that, you know, we have to look at what being racist is. So it's more when you're treating a group of people for whatever difference they have differently from everyone else, you know, then obviously you can say that's racist. So if you go to say, well, we need blacks to show ID, but we don't need others to show ID, clearly you have a problem. But if you say we need everybody, you need to be a citizen, you need to prove it, and you need to verify it, and the ID system is the best way to do that, you may disagree with it, but you can't really call it racist because you're asking everyone for an ID. And I know during the election period when they were talking about trying to pass that law in certain states, people were saying it disproportionately affects poorer people. But they were doing everything from giving additional time to, you know, people raising funds to pay for IDs for people who couldn't afford it. So there was a way to make that happen. But, and then the other argument was that how often does this, you know, voter fraud really happen? People say it happens because it sounds good, but we don't know how often it happens, which I think is, you know, somewhat true. But if we're looking at things logically, it's like saying, how many times do we know there's crime in the world and in our city? But how often do criminals walk up to random doors, going door to door, trying the door to see if it's unlocked and walking in? Probably not that often. So why don't we just all leave our doors open? Most of us will say no. It's better to lock it just in case. So why can't we just ask for IDs to further verify the fact that people are citizens and haven't voted twice and not voting if they're not citizens? But you can argue points, like which is what I say in the book. Is, you know, which side you are on a point doesn't really matter, but don't call everything racist because you don't agree with it. So it is not racist, at least I don't believe it is, to ask for an ID.
Okay, well.
Well.
Before I say which is book, Barbara, any comments?
Yeah, I agree with brother on the phone, Love. I just believe that, you know, for showing ID, you know, showing ID, if everyone is required to show an ID, I mean, to vote, I mean, just like you show ID for anything else, I don't look at that as anything being, like he said, I don't know, racism or racist or, you know, anything other than just doing the proper thing. I think that everyone should have an ID, I believe they give everybody free IDs, so I don't know if that may, it may not affect people when it's time to vote, because sometimes, you know, when you have to show an ID, you may not have time, you might want to, you might be rushing, so you might say, well, forget this, I'm not going to vote because I don't have time for this, or something like that. But other than that, I think that...
We know when you go early vote, then make sure you have ID when you early vote. You know, they don't complain when you early vote, then make sure that you have your ID then.
Right. So I don't have a problem with the ID thing.
Neither do I.
That's
I'm just saying.
The...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just think that it's fair. As long as it's fair, I believe in justice. I believe in ID. I believe in fairness. And so if everyone that entered into a polling area, if they requested or require or asked to show an ID, then I think that's just proper, in my opinion. Now, other people may feel differently because some people may not have an ID. They might not want to show their ID or something of that sort. Everything that you basically do, I know in the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, they ask for an ID for almost anything. You know, and it has to be an updated ID. And that's real. So asking, requesting or requiring or asking for someone to, for a voter to show an ID in order to vote, I think it's just, it's okay. I don't think it can bring any harm to anyone. But the only thing that I will mention is that some voters might just get discouraged and say, you know what, I don't want to show an ID, you know, or whatever, I don't know, you know, and they just may leave. But other than that, I think if they let everybody know ahead of time, in order to vote, you must have an ID. So that means people must go out to do whatever they need to do to get an ID so that they can vote, because voting is very serious. And we want to make sure anyway. Go ahead.
I want to agree with you because, you know, if they even ain't got an ID, have a problem, they can always sit back and put an absentee ballot in and go from there. You know, they can
I was going to say that. They can still vote. Yeah. They don't refuse anybody to vote. They just don't count the vote until they can verify your identification.
Right. That's all. But, Darvin, let me bring my man Charles Love in. He has his little book coming up, and it's entitled Losing. Why don't you tell our audience about your book and what's it about?
Well, the name of the book is Logic, The Truth About Blacks and the Republican Party. And it's really an approach, I like to think, a different angle from the relationship that blacks and Republicans have and how we are limiting our power, our political power. So, although I am a conservative, the book is not written from a frame of if you're a Democrat or you're a liberal, you're wrong. So that's why I say it was a good segue. I was listening to the video, and, you know, he was like, well, are you too stupid to understand this? See, I don't think it's necessary to call people stupid. I just think that some people don't know, and we need to give them the information, and they need to understand. Yeah, so it's more along the lines of obviously going back in time and saying where the Republican Party was established and putting that information out there. But then, of course, people will say, yeah, we know that. But then in the 60s it changed, and this is the reason why it changed. And everybody just all of a sudden woke up, jumped parties, switched. The Democrats came to one side, Republicans came to the other side. They changed their names and moved on from there, which isn't really the case. So I try to approach our perceptions of the Republicans and why we have them, and why they're not necessarily true, and how they hurt us, how they technically hurt us both. I mean, it hurts the Republicans because it makes them, you know, right or wrong. Because they're also, they have skin in the game, and for whatever reason, they got, you know, picked up their ball and went home and decided, well, if the blacks aren't going to listen to us, then we're not even going to try to get their vote anymore. But at the same time, everybody else, we have a two-party system. Every other group gets to choose who they want to vote for. And when you look at white people, there's plenty of liberals and there's plenty of conservatives. But they all get to say these are two people running from two different parties, and we get to decide which party we're going to vote for. We really don't have that option. And if you think about it, we never had that option. When we got the right to vote, we were given the right to vote by a Republican, so we all voted Republican. Because, I mean, they were the ones that had our back. That's the way we saw it. And then once we switched, and once we decided that that party was not a Democratic party, that was the party we've been voting for the second half of the time we've been eligible to vote. So we really don't have options. I know lots of people personally that when I talk to them about issues, go issue by issue, some of them are to the right of me, yet they've never voted for a Republican. So I started that question, why is that? Well, I'm watching the Obama's election, and during the campaign, he's running to get together. Candidates always, you know, swing mud and say things about each other. They've been doing it for years. But now, you know, you say, I disagree with Obama. And they would say to, you know, McCain or Romney, you're racist. And I just had to, you know, question why you can't disagree with somebody without being a racist. Why can't I just be wrong? Why can't I be Mitt Romney running against Obama? He has an idea about an issue. I have an idea. You think I'm wrong. That's fair. But why does he have to be a racist? And I just questioned that. So I started to interview people and started to look at things. And so that's really where the book tends to focus. It focuses on, you know, misconceptions like all Republicans are racist. They're all, you know, Bible thumpers. Are they all, you know, one example is that, you know, they all love war and the Democrats are trying to eliminate war. But when you go for every war in our history, the Democrats have, you know, led us into just as many wars. So it's not as cut and dry as we think it is.
I agree. But go on and tell more about your book. I got other people holding on before I bring Darvin and Dana in. When you talk to your friends about you being a black Republican, what is their response?
Well, it's interesting. It depends on how well they know me. Some will obviously say they're not surprised because I tend to, you know, have certain beliefs. But a lot of it is, you know, well, why? Or, you know, before I told them anything, they just assumed, because you're being black, you're assuming Democrat. So they just say things around you like, man, I met a guy, and he's a black Republican. I mean, any black person that would vote for Republicans would just vote against yourself. So I talk about that, too. And so any black person who votes for Republicans is voting against their own best interest. But see, that's another fallacy we have. You're assuming that we're all monolithic and we all have the same best interest. You know, everybody's not rich, everybody's not poor, everybody's not from the same, you know, family background. Some people are mixed. Everybody's not the same, but they assume we all have the same end game. We may all want different things, and it's okay. So you can't say we have, you know, the same best interest. But the other things they say is they really don't say much about that. You know, it's just kind of, you know, hushed conversations, so you know they're probably talking about you. But we more talk about issues, and that's easier because I'm standing, you know, having these discussions from a logical point of view. I don't let emotion really get into my decision. Obviously, we're all affected by it, but I don't let, you know, that lead my decision, so to speak. So when I'll talk to a friend about an issue, whether it's the Trayvon Martin case, whether it's the voter right thing, they'll say their opinion. I'll say, oh, okay. I don't tell them it's wrong. I say, well, what about this? Or do you think this? Or did you know this? And they say, oh, I didn't know that. Well, let me go check that out. They say, if that's the case, that makes sense, but I didn't realize that. So I just kind of give them a different angle to think to look at. So you may still disagree with the conservative view stance on some issue, but when, you know, Rush Limbaugh says it, you think they're all racist and you're angry at it. When I say it, you say, oh, that might make sense. I'll look into it because I don't broach the subject in such a, you know, argumentative way.
So I think it's basically the message and not the messenger. It's the messenger and not the message.
I think so in a lot of cases. I mean, some cases you're just not going to agree, like, which is fine. But you could, there's still a way that I can give you the message where you can disagree with me and not instantly think I'm a racist or instantly think I'm a homophobe or instantly think whatever. But the way, I mean, if you sit there and you listen to, and Rush is a perfect example because I don't take Rush seriously because his show is all, you know, about, you know, satire. He's, you know, trying to be not necessarily funny like comedy, but he's trying to be interesting and go over the top to prove a point. But people who don't like him take everything he says literally. The next day he'll say something on the show. The next day is, Rush says he's leaving the country. Well, nobody really thought he was leaving the country. I mean, what are you talking about? That kind of deal. But it's still hurts the overall views of Republicans. If I, as a black man, already have some, you know, negative feelings about Republicans, that's just, you know, solidifying them. It's just, okay, I must have been right when I thought that, because here's yet another example. But that's why I say sometimes it may be the messenger. So, I mean, sometimes we have to look at ourselves, because we all know, you know, and I joke about it. I get more trouble for saying this, you know, that we, you know, we as blacks say that we talk amongst ourselves in a different way, and we say those things that you can't say, quote unquote, in mixed company. So, you know, they were talking about the racist white man that says this, and Republicans think this, and they think we're all this. But then, you know, Friday night after work, a group of black guys kicking back having a beer, and they're all talking about this person in that neighborhood or that black guy down the street or the person who stole this and this. And they're saying the same things that any other person that, you know, they would hear would be screaming racism, but they're saying the same people. No, don't let white people know we feel that way. What's wrong with not one, you know, with me having a problem with being robbed or me having a problem with somebody in the neighborhood being shot, you know, and killed, some kid, innocent kid, and people in that neighborhood knowing who it is and not telling on them? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with thinking that there's a problem with that?
I agree. Anybody can jump in at any time. Before I get to you, hey, Dava, what do you think about that?
I'm kind of curious. And Mr. Russell, he's a Republican. Have you always been a Republican?
Oh, God, no. I tell my story in the book, too. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, so and it's pretty much the same kind of background as most black people in Chicago on the South Side and West Side. Grew up voting for Democrats because that's what I was told to do. And then I heard negative things about Republicans, and I didn't have anything to offset it because I've never seen a Republican. They never came to Canada. That's what I said. They're part of the problem because they kind of, once black people assumed they had, you know, had these misconceptions about them, they just turned it back and said, it's hopeless. We can't win this fight. So I grew up where they never even bothered to campaign. So, no, I mean, I always voted for Democrats. And then I just started to say, well, I always grew up doing things, thinking things through before I do things. So why would I vote for somebody I don't necessarily agree with? I may still agree with and vote for a Democrat when I was younger. And I said, but why am I voting for this guy just because he's a Democrat? That doesn't make sense. You know, I got to use some common sense. I need to listen to the two people who are running and vote for the one I want to vote for. So that's kind of, you know, or I would question, well, why do we have to vote for Democrats? You just should, you know, that kind of deal. So it wasn't an overnight thing. It kind of evolved just over a period of time.
Hey, Dana. Go on ahead, Darva. I'm sorry, go on ahead.
You know what? Can you let the public know when did we convert from? From what I understand, we were already I don't know. We came right out of slavery, being Republicans as African Americans, or when did we come into existence in reference to becoming a Republican? Can you let the public know that? That I know that we were originally Republicans, but we were converted over to Democrats, I believe, in the late 50s or early 60s. I just need to get some insight on that from you. Is that in your book?
It is indeed. And it's at the stages, too. So, yeah, so initially we definitely we voted Republican. I mean, obviously, without having much political background, we did it because the president who fought to free the slaves was a Republican, so it just made sense. And then, you know, as the different presidents, you know, because the presidency was dominated by Republicans for years, so we had seven of them were Republicans. And obviously one of the only ones that were Democrats was because, what's his name, Lincoln's vice president was a Democrat, so when he was killed, the president was a Democrat, but...
Let me let the historian spot there. Andrew Jackson, who killed the 40 acres of the mule and took away the Freedmen's Bureau. I like to throw this out there for the people. The Democratic Party took away the 40 acres of the mules and tried to get rid of the Freedmen's Bureau until my man Jackson came back down and rectified the stuff. But let me realize this. That's why the Democrats now took our 40 acres and a mule, and our reparations, and have given them now to the Dream Act. Go on. I'm sorry, Brother Love. Continue on.
Yeah. And well, Dana, Jimmy, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So I feel that too often we attach ourselves and associate ourselves with certain parties, and then we try to call ourselves those parties. And answer me this. Does any of them truly care about us?
Okay, I'm going to answer really quickly, and I'll let someone else jump in. But the first thing she was asking about that conversion, and then I'll get back to that. So as far as the conversion, you're close, definitely from a time standpoint, into the 50s and 60s, but people are kind of, you know, have varying views as to why. Some just say, well, the Republicans, you know, switched and became Democrats or whatever. Like people could switch overnight, but it was more, it was kind of a progression. So Republicans get pretty much all of the black vote. And then when the Great Depression hit and everybody was struggling, so now you have white people not wanting blacks to get jobs because, you know, they're going to take jobs away from us. So FDR was putting in plans to try to help people, most of them temporary. It's not like he was doing it because of benevolence to blacks, but he was doing things that blacks saw that would help us. Well, they started to kind of vote for him, which means they voted for Democrats. Republicans still get over 60% of the black vote, though. And then the big shift was obviously LBJ's presidency with the Civil Rights Act. So that doesn't mean, again, that all Democrats feel the same way because more Republicans voted for it. But Democrats got credit for what he did, and they got credit for what hurt Republicans was Barry Goldwater came off to many as a Republican, racist, when really his platform was everybody should be treated as equal, but then everybody should be able to, you know, work hard and do whatever. And, you know, he was big on states' rights, and people, he wrote the Conscience of the Conservatives, and people didn't like that. They kind of shifted from there. But it wasn't like Republicans were turning their backs on blacks. But as far as which party is doing better for either one, that's an excellent question. And that's where we do get into a different debate about how to approach this. I think, like I said earlier, things are racist when people are treated separately and differently. Like, let's treat the blacks differently, which is bad, and we need to stop that whenever it happens. But I'm okay with everybody being treated fairly and then letting them work to what they want, where they want to be. Because we've been held back for so long, and we still find a way to make a life. So I'm quite confident that blacks on an equal footing would be able to take care of themselves. So my answer to that is it doesn't really matter whether the Democrats or which party is really for blacks. I don't need a party to be for blacks. I need them to create laws that are fair and equal for everybody and then get out of the way. I don't need to know what's in the mind of whatever politician, since so many of them, if I hang my success on the fact that if I elect Jimmy, he's going to help me, and then he becomes a typical politician and he turns his back on me, I'm screwed. But if I'm focused on the laws being fair, everybody has to say, so everybody needs to show an ID. Everybody needs to do this. Everybody gets, you know, what if, like, this Voting Rights Act, either everybody has to go to the federal government to get approval or nobody has to, but you can't just say some states have to. As long as if the playing field is leveled and everybody has the same rule, then we should be fair. And everything is fair, and then we make our own way. Some people are going to fail, and some people are going to succeed, but that's the nature of life.
Well, that's the reason why I don't feel that it's as important that we associate ourselves with a particular party. It's really the best man for the job. It's the one that's going to do what that they are. It's the one that's going to represent the people the best.
But I'm more than okay with that, but you have to admit that for most black people, they don't. It's not, let's listen to the...
But I don't believe that it's about black people or white people. I just believe it's about, in my opinion, that when I vote for a president, an alderman, a congressman, a senator, what I am voting for is that person that is going to represent the people. And what I believe that we are finding is that it's good to get me in, but once I'm there, I'm really representing myself, my issues, and my goals. And that, to me, is a problem. Because you have been elected. You've been elected to help your constituents. And those constituents that got you in office, then their issues should be the first issue at hand.
Oh, everything you say makes sense. But you also have to consider that it's not a good thing, but it is the reality of the situation. It takes a lot of money to run for an office now. And if things change down the road, it may change, but currently we got a two-party system. So if that person who's running, if you want to run, you say, I'm going to be outside of the system. I'm going to be the maverick and the rebel. You're never going to have enough money to get enough, you know, political standing to really make it where you want to be. You're going to need to get some assistance from some part. That's kind of the reason why a lot of people, you know, align themselves to a party. It's not because I agree with all the Democrat principles, because nobody agrees with either side all the time. There's no Republican out there that agrees with every Republican or vice versa. But if you're running for a seat, even if you want to help the people, you're going to need that money, because you better be sure that your opponent's going to have it.
Well, maybe the system should be developed to where it's not the person that can raise the most funds, and then they can attach themselves to a certain group, and then that group can point to back now. Because
I'm bringing
BA
in.
I'm
bringing BA in. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm bringing BA in. I'm bringing BA in. You can chime in anytime you want, BA. And you too, Darva. Go on ahead. We got a half an hour left in the show. Where are you from, BA?
I'm from Maryland. Thank you, Jimmy.
All right. Jump in anytime you want to, man. Go on ahead. We're just talking, chopping it up. Go on ahead.
Yeah, let me add this. Because I think a lot of times we got the talent, me, black folk, but we miss the point of ownership and being responsible for our own legacy. For example, you mentioned the Voters' Rights Act that the Supreme Court gutted last week, a couple weeks ago. I don't know why we were crying, because we don't own no parts of the Voters' Rights Act. Never have in its 55-plus year history. Mm-hmm. We don't run the Justice Department section that deals with the Voters' Rights Act. Over the last 60 years, you probably had only about three or four blacks who ran the Civil Rights Division of Justice Department. And they were puppets. We got to start owning some things. Where are our think tanks and nonprofits in case the federal government doesn't bring suit? Why can't we as a people or as a community, you know, with a nonprofit, with a legal defense fund, bring a suit? We got to understand that we got to get some money and we got to start owning things. I just read a book about the East Indians, right, on Wall Street. They tried to take over and land a spot on Wall Street. They were coming in with billions and billions and billions of dollars, and they were looking out for themselves. They were buying their way into the Democratic Party. It was no surprise that President Obama gave a state dinner for the Indian Prime Minister because they made it happen. We got to start understanding that. We got to start owning some things outright. We got to start being in control. And it's unfortunately we got black politicians, because one of the things that we have to leverage is our vote. But we got black politicians who really don't, you know, they really don't look out for what I would say black people. You know, you get in where you fit in. They don't look out for us. And one example, of course, in Chicago with Jesse Jackson Jr. I heard him say some things over the past 10 years. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe where he was going. But, hey, I just end there and just say we got to start owning some things and owning up our own responsibility to make our own way in society.
I agree with you. I got you on it now, 66. When my producers come back, I'm going to bring you in. But, and 216, I see you also in Cleveland. Give me a minute. I'm going to bring you also in Cleveland. But let me make this statement. I agree with you also, DX. My deal is with the Voters' Rights Act. You know, unless, and this is what I feel about all civil rights act, unless it goes to who it's supposed to go to, then get rid of it. If the Voting Rights Act was put in there for those citizens that were oppressed, then let it deal with those citizens that were oppressed. If any civil rights act was for the African American, then let it deal with the African American, because those legislative laws were not here for the Dream Act. Now, and we got two more callers in. Let me bring in anybody to jump in. Darva, what you think, Darva?
In regarding what?
Anything on any level, Darva. It's the last 30 minutes, you know. Jump ball. Anything my man BX was saying, anything Charles Love was saying?
Well, basically I just think it's time for a change. I think that African American people need to be woke up. They need to stop sleeping. They are asleep spiritually, mentally, physically. They need to wake up. They need to wake up. The people need to wake up. The people need to come together. I just believe, I know in the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, that our elders and our people that were leading us, and when our parents, leading parents, they should not be leading us today. I'm sorry to say this, but the people that led our parents back in the 50s, 60s and stuff should not be leading us today. There's a problem with this when we still have the same people saying they are leaders. What have they led us to? Where are they leading us to? Where are we heading? People are going to have to step up, step into place. This is why I end up, you know, on these five organizations. I'm on everything on Facebook, Twitter. I'm on everything, every social media group. I'm out here every day hitting the streets. I'm out here hitting, you know, telling people just, we got to wake up. We got to get the people. We got to get to the young people, the ones with the fresh minds, the ones that believe that they have no hope. We got to let them know there's hope in what we're doing. I understand we don't have a lot of great leaders. Where are our great leaders? Where are they at? I don't even understand them anymore. We have to raise up some new leaders, some new people, and some new think tanks. It is time to stop selling out our people. It is time to stop destroying our people, our families. It is time for the families, the husband and wives, to come back together. It is time for us to raise or train our children the way they should go. It is time for us to do the right thing. If we live right, be right, and do right, Jimmy, righteousness can do nothing but fight us. I close with that.
Aubrey, hold on. Before I get out of a lot of time, Charles Love, why don't you tell everybody about your book and a little bit of what it's about, and then I'll bring everybody else in. And then I want to deal with this little discrimination going on in the military system, too, if you can help me out, Ms. Lee. But, Mr. Conan Charles, I'm going to bring you in to Cleveland in a second. Let me give my man Charles to talk about his book. Everybody can jump in from there.
Yeah, you can find the book on Amazon and go to CreateSpace. It is Logic, the Truth About Blacks in the Republican Party, where I talk about my background growing up in, you know, all-black area Indiana, and many, you know, brothers and sisters out there have the same background, to voting strictly for Democrats and then kind of looking at the scene and trying to be more open. Like she said, we all need to come together, and we need to, and like BS said, we need to create our own power. Part of that, the third part of that is also having options. You know, Republicans have their problems, as do Democrats. We already talked about our leaders not being the right leaders. But at the same time, we have to play in the game that we're in now, and part of that is having options. And everybody who's, every Republican is not racist, some of them are, but everyone's not, and everybody's not against. So even if they're not necessarily specifically for you, saying, what can I do for black people, if they're not against you, then you have to be open to what they say. Talk about the time in which we changed from Republicans to Democrats. I talked about George Bush. I talked about one of the big things are the misconceptions that people have about Republicans and how that just can't logically be true, how they can't all be racist and they can't all be rich or whatever the case may be. I talk about our own selfishness and how our emotions and selfishness gets in the way of us making logical decisions. And I try to do it in a way that's not anti-Democrat and or angry, just putting the facts out there and kind of open people's eyes to different information and just, you know, being real. Like, does it make sense to do X? It's just really black and white. It's not about whether a specific policy is right. It's just, it's more about, can the Republicans be wrong all the time and can the Democrats be wrong all the time? I talked to some black people I knew, and I said, what percentage of white people do you think are racist? And they said 75%. Then they said none of the Democrats were racist and all the white Republicans were racist. So that math doesn't make sense. So just trying to vote the finesse with, do you realize you're saying this? And like the Voting Rights Act thing, I'll leave you with. And BS was saying that they didn't have a reason to be angry because they don't have any control of anything, which is true. But then the other thing, again, we always say we want equality and we want things to be fair and equal. Well, if we had all the states being treated the same way, that's one thing. But the parts that they struck down had certain states, because they tend to be more racist than 65, that had to go through certain loopholes to change a law that other states didn't have to. Now, I'm not saying that there's no racism in Texas still in 2013. I'm just saying there's racism everywhere. So maybe if you're changing the rules, you change the rules for every state has to go through the feds to get approval to change voting law, or none of them. You just can't have... pick out 9 states and say, you all have to do this and the rest don't. Because, again, if you say you want fairness and equality, that's not what that is.
Okay. Let me bring before, well, BX, you can respond if you want to. Hey, Dana, I'm going to bring in Sean, and it's just Sean to say. And if you would like to talk about the situation in the military, you can. But let me bring my man Cleveland right to say here. You live, Cleveland. What's going on? You on live? They're going to be
The Voting Rights Act. In a way, it's kind of good. In a way, it's bad. You know, we need to stop looking to them for answers for everything. You know, the Voting Rights Act. Yeah, we need to stop depending on them for everything. All right. I mean, like I say, we got Asians that come over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get education and they do good. We got opportunity. We got the same education. We got access to the same education, but we don't use it. We don't. So whatever happens to us, happens to us. All right. The Voting Rights Act. I'm glad they canceled it, because we need to see who our adversary or enemy is. Okay. He's been hit. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to see who that is. Because, you know, with the whole civil rights thing, they've hid themselves. You know, now we need to see who they are. Now, I'm glad they did what they did. As far as the Trayvon thing, I kind of want Zimmerman to go free because I want to see what black folks going to do. Hello?
Go ahead. You finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay. Okay, let me say again about the other group.
Black Achiever, I'm sorry. Black Achiever, my fault. I apologize.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, brother. Let me say this. You got to understand that other ethnic groups, they get ahead because they discriminate. They practice discrimination. They do for their own. Every ethnic group. Now, it's even the Nigerians. Okay, the Africans, they do for themselves. They don't give others a step up. They don't let them in the party. Okay?
They also study.
Yes, of course. Of course. No doubt about it. What I'm saying to you, sir, is we have lawyers. We've educated lawyers for the last 40 years. Why don't we run the affirmative, the Voters' Rights Act? Why aren't we determining which jurisdiction is engaging in technology or with the voting patterns, with the voting booths, that shows that we are being left behind? Why don't we make those decisions? Why aren't we the people
because
on
we,
those
Because
on
we,
those
we're local. Looking to them. We're looking for them for answers. That's why we don't have those decisions. And when you ask, you keep asking questions. That's coming off of you don't know the answer. So if you're asking them for answers, if you keep asking them for answers. Looking for them for answers, expect not to have a leader, okay? Because you're going to be looking them to be the leader for you. You keep
okay,
asking me why. You should come up with solutions, bro. You should have solutions.
My questions were rhetorical.
Oh, okay.
But that's
how we are in public. That's how black folks
no,
is.
No,
why
I,
this? Why that?
No. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we should run the Voters' Rights Act. I'm just giving one example. Affirmative action. We should run it. Okay, you talk about fair housing, all the civil rights legislation. We should be the one determining when someone is engaging in unfair housing practices. That should be us determining it. But we got people, as you stated, determining it for us. And I'm saying that's why it has not been successful. That's why it's a waste of time because we do not run it. We don't control it. But, for example, you get in the Justice Department, there's a section of lawyers that handle trying to recover stolen art, stolen jewelry, stolen money that was lost.
Well, why don't we just break away
right?
from the society and become farmers, bro? We're not going to get an equal shake in this. All right.
Wait a minute. No. We're not trying to get an equal shake. We're not trying to leverage. I'm saying we got to be more forceful. We got to be meaner. As I told
got,
you,
what do you mean?
When
I don't
it comes
understand.
To
they're in charge. They're in command. I don't understand what you mean. You're never going to be equal to them in their system. You're never going to be equal to them.
You're not evident, man. In their system, you're not evident. You're not equal to them.
In their system.
Okay. All right, I understand that. But let me get 30 seconds.
Hold on, B.A. Hey, Sean, no disrespect. I didn't mean to put you in blue room, Sean. I want to turn to B.A. Go on. All right. And Dana from D.C. is laughing right now. Go on there, B.A.
Okay, I'll be quick. We the mayor of Chicago when we were. We the mayor of Detroit. We were the mayor of New York. We the president of the United States of America. We are in the power. We are the Congress. We in the power, and we give our power up to the same
people. Hey, you're not in power.
We give our power up to the same people we claim are discriminated against us. I'm saying, hell no. You stay in control. You hire your people. You move. We get education, and we take over, and we assert our own liberation. Simple as that. And stop saying that somebody else is stronger. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. Hey. The gays can say that. The gays can say, no, they're
bro,
not going to do
that's already
right
been
there.
Done. What you talking about already been done, man. You had the Nation of Islam, Morris Science Temple, black folks trying to stick together. Then you had Uncle Tom, then you had other brothers don't want to be with them or be together as a large family like that. So we're never going to
Islam and Morris Science Temple.
Huh?
You said a Nation of Islam. If that's your example.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was black. That was black folks saying we need to get away from them, become farmers, get away from them.
Okay.
But they're black folk. But what did black folks do? No, we need jobs. So long as you need jobs, you're gonna keep at the answer to them. As long as you feel like that.
Okay.
My history is totally different.
My history is totally different.
It's going to be difficult to get everybody to think the same, in any group to think the same way. So you're never going to be able to get all the blacks together to say, okay, let's move in this one direction.
Well, bro, I'll tell you guys, this is Ms. Darva on the phone. I understand. I hear what you guys are saying. You guys are debating. And someone mentioned the Islam, the Israelites, and the Moors. Well, those are the brothers that I'm looking forward to. Those are the people that I'm looking forward to lead, guide, and put us the right direction.
Wait a minute.
The reason why is because,
Go ahead, sister.
I'm saying that for a reason, because I've been part of everything. I've been in every religion. I've been with all 50 organizations. I started studying different religions since I was 14 years old. I studied with the Israelites, the Nation of Islam, Muslim. I studied with the Moors. I'm working with them now. I work with the Baptists, the Christians, the Catholics. I've done it all, and I'm saying to say, I'm not talking about what nobody's telling me. I sat amongst them all as a young girl. Now I'm in my 50s, and I see that something has to give. And so I don't know who mentioned that, but thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit let me know that I'm going in the right direction. That's my confirmation, because I've been telling brothers, I'm a sister, but I work with brothers. And I'm not just a community activist. I'm a community leader, and I'm a community organizer. I just started a new organization called New AOL, the Activist Organizing Leaders, where everybody have an equal opportunity to show and prove what they can do out here for our people. And I am going to stick with organizations and people that are trying to do the same thing, but they might be doing it in a different way. So I applaud the Israelites, I applaud the Nation of Islam, and I applaud the Moors. The reason why is because they're all really, in my opinion, they are doing the same thing, but maybe in a different form or fashion, but we're all trying to get to the same place, but we're doing it differently. And just to deal with a lot of other stuff out here, it ain't working. It ain't working. I'm a sister. How do I know? Because I work with brothers, okay? I had an ex-offender organization. It just didn't work. I don't want to get into why, but, I mean, you got to get with people that have the same mindset, thinking the same way. It ain't about no religion. It ain't about no party. It ain't about no money. What it's about where your heart is at, what you're going to do, and what you're going to do for the people. That's it.
Well, to answer that, brother, D.A., okay, that's good, sister. That's good what you said. But I want to answer that, brother D.A. We need to start getting with the Asians, all right? Because Asian folks like black folks. It's just that black folks in America taught the Asians.
I got a friend that's Asian, too. I deal with you, too.
And let me tell you, Asians are intelligent, and they run the world. And Asians have a history with black folks. Check out the 1930s. They was over here messing with the Nation of Islam, with Japan. You know, we got history with them. Hello?
Well, listen.
And they like us. And they're running the world. So we need to be cool with them. You know, we need to be cool with them because they're running the world, and we need to be on their team. They like us. They don't like the crackers. They'll tell you that when you're with them by themselves. See,
let me tell you something.
I said the Asians are running the world, and I'm thinking on a different level. I ain't thinking about the local level. I'm thinking about an international, a multicultural level. You understand?
Let's
jump to human rights.
Sean, I agree with you. Let's go multicultural, and that's why Obama right there in Africa, because China has a hold over there, and yes, China is treating those Africans correct over there. But that leads me right into this last 15 minutes I have with this esteemed panel that I have from D.C., Chicago, Maryland, Cleveland, and all points abroad and all around the World Wide Web. Ms. Dana Lee, could you tell us what's going on with the military justice system right real fast in the last 15 minutes I got?
Well, first of all, I feel that I'm compelled to comment on some of the things that have been stated today. We don't live in a world where we're isolated as black people and everybody is just separate. We are in a world where we are forced to coexist. And because we need to be able to coexist, we need to be able to use to live in some kind of way, shape, form, or fashion together and cohesively. And so so unless we can figure out a way and find a way to be able to get along as a society, as a group of people, and especially as human beings, then we're going to continue to contribute to the demise of this country. I mean, it's as simple as that. We have all been on this earth for hundreds of years, and it doesn't make sense that here in the year 2013, we're still trying to figure out a way to either live separate or not live together. It doesn't make sense. It just, we just can't exist that way. It's not realistic, and it's definitely not representative of society.
I just felt compelled to comment, and so you just say God bless America.
Everything
you said,
that's
God bless
right.
America. Okay. Now,
okay.
Now, can we get the military justice system scoop in here? My last 15 minutes, then, or 5 minutes. I want to see if everybody can pontificate on what you were telling me earlier.
Oh, I know that. I know earlier, I guess the question was posed to me, what do I think about the allowance or the continuation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice and allowing military members to investigate themselves and basically have absolute power over their people? I disagree with it 100%. I feel that those regulations that have been made to protect us are being misused for wrong, and they are being used against us.
Wait a minute, Danny. You got a lot of false accusations out there.
I know this to be true. It's not a false accusation. I could give you example after example of where if you file a complaint, and then the person that's investigating that complaint will take your evidence that you provide and then create false documentation against you in order to counteract the evidence that you have provided for your experience.
Well, that's why you always keep copies and documentation.
But the copies don't matter when the system is corrupt. You can have a copy of everything
that.
In the world, and when people are using fraud, when they're using discrimination, when they're using racist behaviors, when they're using illegal investigatory tactics, when they're using fraudulent reports and false statements
As long as you don't sign off on no bad documentation, you okay.
You don't have to
sign off on it when you got
all these other people that's willing to sign off on it for you. What I'm saying to you is that this system is wrong. And as a military member, I don't feel that the same constitutional rights that I have given my life to support and defend apply to me.
But you're in the military, Dana. That's what it is.
Exactly.
The military does not operate by the same rules as the United States. It's a communist environment, Dana.
What I'm saying to you is if I have sworn to give my life
to
fight for a right that you have as a civilian, at a minimum, that right should apply to me.
But the military is a dictatorship. It's not a democracy. It's not even a republic.
But
it's a dictatorship. You know that.
But we are all based. We all have laws which govern us.
You knew that when you signed up, girl.
We all have regulations which govern us, and we have principles that we must follow. And when those regulations, when those rules, and when those laws are being misused for wrong, then there's something wrong with the system. Any elected official that agreed to allow these rules to continue going on, I don't feel cares about me. And the reason is because as a military member, I have suffered, I am suffering, and I will continue to suffer as long as absolute power has been granted, and those superiors above me who have been granted this absolute power are continuing to misuse it and commit and use illegal tactics to abuse me, and that abuse, and there's no accountability for the abuser or the ones that's committing the criminal acts. That's something wrong with this system. And it is not right that if that I joined at the age of 19 and that I can be held hostage in a system because I can't quit my job. I can't not go to work. I can't say I'm done. And the abusers and the ones that are creating this, that are committing these criminal acts, are allowed to continue to punish me because they choose to. It is wrong.
Well, Dana, you've been in that long. You need to just do your time and get out, and hopefully,
That's the problem.
Hopefully, you get an honorable discharge. Hopefully, you get an honorable discharge. Okay, for real. Because they will screw people. They will screw you.
And that's a and because of that, they will screw you. Then the power needs to be removed.
Well, you do your time, and I know they've been doing it for years.
But it doesn't mean it's acceptable.
Oh, my bad.
Right,
that's
okay, check me out. I got about this, like, 9 minutes before I wrap everything up. Let me give a shout-out to everybody that got on the mic. I got my girl Dana Aaron from the District of Columbia. I ain't going to say where you're from. I got Dana from D.C. I got B.A. from Maryland. I got Sean from Cleveland. I got Charles Love, Robert Watkins from Chicago. As far as I wrap everything up, I'd like Robert Watkins to talk about a program a little bit and where they can find you. And then after that, Charles Love, say where they can find your book at. Then I'm going to go around. And then I'm going to go around the room and have everybody do their last little shots out. So, Darva, why don't you tell everybody about you. Give me about 90 seconds, Darva, and tell me everything about you, where they can find you at, your Facebook page, your web page, and what you do. Same with you, Charles Love. And I thank y'all for being on my show. Real talk.
Okay, all I'm right, Darva Watkins. Okay, I'm with Just Us. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I am on Instagram. I am on any social media that's out here. You can look Just Us. I have a women ministry where I'm bringing all women together across the United States and across South America and North America. You can dial 712-775-7400. The access code is 116-895. Every Monday at 6 o'clock a.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, and every Saturday at 8 a.m., I'm looking for women. Women are rising. We are rising to the occasion. We are in a spiritual warfare. This is a serious spiritual warfare, so we're going into battle. We're putting on our complete armor of God, and what we're doing, we're praying for our country, our people, our children, our families, and everything else that comes along with that. I have a marketing company, the Millennial Marketing Management Group. What I do, I help people win elections. So anybody ready to run for office here in the Chicago area or Illinois or any place, let me know. What I do, I help people win elections over and over and over and over again for the last 30 years. And one more thing, not the last, but the least, Dot Media, that's an organization and it's a communication spot on the, I have a blog spot as well as a Dot Media, it's called Dot Media Communications, and you would know that's me on Facebook because there's a picture of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X smiling and holding hands. That's it.
All right.
Okay, I got a question for you then. Since you're providing so much assistance, then can you assist me? I have been hazed, extorted, bullied.
Dana, I will give you information. Let me get my author out the way and then holler at my man B.A. from Maryland. I got you, Dana. What's up, Charles Love? Hit me off.
Well, Jimmy, thanks for having me. I want to quickly say that I'm glad to be here, and everybody's really, really powerful people, and I like the fact that even though we may not all agree, I like the fact that you're engaged, and we need more and more people to be engaged. His name is Charles. His book is Logic, the Truth About Blacks and the Republican Party. You can check me out at thinkordie.org. thinkordie.org. You can get the book. You can see the blogs. You can get up-to-date news information and just, stay focused and stay informed. Listen here, of course, to Jimmy. He's got out some great guests and great info, and thinkordie.org.
All right, hold on, Charles. We ain't done yet. I just wanted to make sure everybody got the information. So I don't want to leave here without giving that out. Sean's, my man from Cleveland is bailed out, and he said, keep moving, Darva. He said, Dana, watch your back, and he was out of there. What's up, my man, B.A. Baracus from Maryland? Anything you want to say in the last couple of minutes? And thank you for tuning in, man. I appreciate you for adding your content.
Thank you. Let me just say this. I also have a show on Blog Talk Radio. You can catch me. Just look me up, Black Achievement USA. And let me end by saying, nobody wants to unite.
No, B.A., you must tell them the time and the day. Even though we're conflicting, AM ain't no difference, man. Tell them the time and the day, homie. Be real.
Okay.
For the closure.
Okay, you can check me out on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. to 6:30.
That's okay, before our show. Not a problem, my man. Not a problem at all, my man.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
For the closure.
Yes,
give me a commercial. I'll run your commercial, too. Go on ahead and do your thing.
Yeah.
Anything you
want to
say? That's it?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say this, that as a group, you know, if you have an organization, if you think you're doing some things, and I know that you are, we have to start putting together annual reports and perspectives so people can see what we're doing. Get it, put it on paper so that we don't be caught up in no mirages. Thank you, sir.
Not a problem, B.A. B.A., listen, anytime our show is hot, man, you on Blog Talk, man, just jump in. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I do this Monday through Wednesday. Now, I got a hot show. My mama got a hot show on Saturdays at 6 a.m. That's Coffee Theater Conversation. Dorothy Tillman. That's on WVON. You can find it on iHeart or WVON.com. But you can tune in on Blog Talk. She's live chat. And pretty soon she'll have a 3-hour programming also on here following her show. But I'm going to get to you, Dana, in a minute. But on Thursday, for those listening now, I play new music on Thursday. That's why I promote music all over the world. And where my man coming from, the new baby you got back like me? We got Casper. No, Dana, I'm putting me on live. Dana, about to be on live. Your shit's loud. But I'm bringing on live. Dana, I got people from Norway and France now on our blog. Yeah, that's how that's it. You can't be fast. I got people all around America on New Music Thursday, and that's between we. And we are doing our show tomorrow, so don't forget to tune in there. Listen, Dana, roll up your window. I'm about to come to you now, Dana, before I give my little salutations. And don't forget, my lady, Darva Watkins, I'm glad she took a little drip. And Charles Love Book, I'm gonna give y'all another chance before I get out of here. Let all my listeners know where y'all at. Don't forget Tuesday, BA, Black Achievement Radio. What's up, Dana?
I just think that, you know, I just saw that as a person that served in my country, I shouldn't be getting served up on the platter. And the reality is that's how it is, you know, and these things have not come to light. And these things are especially not being addressed because of the absolute power that continues to be granted by this UCMJ and by these antiquated equal Civil Rights Act that was signed that allows the military to investigate itself. You know, as a military member, I feel like I need help. I feel like others need help. I'm not the only one in this boat. And if I have devoted my life and my time to serve my country, then I feel that at a minimum, my country should come to my aid. And that is one of the reasons why it's important to keep elected officials.
Huh? Yeah. Your congressman, what about your congressman? Have you been to your congressman?
You know what?
Yet?
I'm going to tell you the truth about the system. Because, you know, it's all really smoke and mirrors. We write our congressmen, and then the congressmen writes back to the people that are abusing them to ask them to let them know that they're aware of the situation. Well, guess what? If you go to a thief and ask him if he's stealing, he'd be a fool to tell you yes. So he's going to tell you, no, I'm not, or we're taking care of it, or we're fixing the problem. But the reality is while they're saying to that congressman, that senator, and anyone else that you speak to, ask requests and help from, while they're saying to you that they're fixing it, what they're really doing is fixing you. And you can get ready for the real battle that's coming after you fail.
Okay.
All right, Dana, I'm
going
to plug you in with Miss Watkins. Listen, this is Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. I want to thank you, B.A. from Maryland, Sean from Cleveland, D.C., Dana, Charles Love. We, hey, Charles, we can find your book at Charles, quickly.
ThinkOrDie.org.
All right. The Jimmy's Underground Radio Network is New Music Thursday. Let's see what Vin be number
thank
one. Hey, Dana, check it out. Not a problem,
yeah.
Not a problem. Hey,
thank
Dana, check it out.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Not
it was
a
wonderful.
Problem. All right, good night, and may your God be with you, everybody.
Fuck, are y'all mad at me? Don't be surprised when I start speaking my piece. Kids, mama talking shit, wanna check her cavities. Nah, I won't do the penitentiary. I apologize when my people are owed money. Mayday, they burned down the cafe. Damn, these are the last days. Before I leave, I want my own show, Ray J. Can't do shit, nay. Confused pretty bitches, you can get the payday. I'm so fly, Mr. O'Hare, midway. Learn from me, no replay to sensei. They're mad, cause I have kids now. Like dogs and strangers, bitch, get down. Just Mag and Millie, you motherfuckers are loud. Please, with both of y'all, put something in your mouth. I'm tired of the nonsense, this is free music. And no, it's not convict, out like Mike Vick. Full-fledged lyricist, complicated like pyramids. God damn it, y'all got me irritated. Any challenge in front of me, nigga, I will face it. And leave you looking stupid till they say go get a facelift.